We join the story after Jesus' baptism. John 1:35. It's headed, "The First Disciples of Jesus." The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by. "There is the Lamb of God," he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him, and asked, "What are you looking for?" They answered, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" This word means teacher. "Come and see," he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of the day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas." This is the same as Peter, which means a rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come with me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," answered Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, "Here is a real Israelite. There's nothing false in him." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." "Teacher," answered Nathanael, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "Do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than this." And he said to them, "I am telling you the truth. You will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man." Come and see. Amen.
And that's what we're going to do. For that as I, what I feel is the message of this first chapter of St. John following the baptism of Jesus. That people came into contact with Jesus. They saw him, they talked with him, they had time with him, and then they went to share what they had experienced. And then they said, "Come and see." But some people make that difficult. And some go away without even trying. What about you tonight? For I have been burdened with this desire to share with you my experience of Jesus. So that as I share my experience, you can share him too. And tonight's the night. Because as I get older, I have so many things that I want to share with other people because of my link with Jesus. I've got to be very careful on a night like this. And so I have limited myself to talk about three things that come from the end of the Lord's Prayer, where we are told that His is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You find it in the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm limiting myself to those three things so that we can, with a little discipline, challenge ourselves to come and see Him and find Him to be so beautiful and so wonderful. Because I, tonight, am not interested in you receiving new power or new equipment to do more for God in the work at church, at home, or at your place of work. I am interested that you will come to meet with Jesus as a living person, and then later in the week you'll be ready to receive that which He wants to give you for the work that is yours as you make your way home. So come and see. And first of all, I want you to see that this Jesus is the King, for His is the kingdom. He has won the right to be the King because of His victory over sin and over death on the cross 2,000 years ago. His is the kingdom now because of that victory. He has cleared the way, as it were, those many years ago, to rule and to control and to have His authority over all the nations of the world today and in the lives of all the peoples of the nations of the world. For through that victory on the cross, He has been given that right to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to come and see how true and wise and gracious and beautiful is that rule of Jesus. But it means that when you come to see this, that you've got to be obedient to Him. And therefore, I have to ask that when you come to see Him, that you will be ready to read the scriptures and to say the prayers that is our personal conversations with Him. Because you need to be enlightened as to His mind and His purpose for you. You have to know from the scriptures and through this intimate conversation with Him what He has for your character or for your way of conduct or for your career. And it is as you come to understand what it is that Jesus has for you, it is then that you can get involved in it, because you can then do it. And the result is that He, the living person, the living Christ, is enthroned in your life. For through your obedience to His word and His guidance, He becomes your King. Now that's what I have discovered. And I want you to know the same thing too. And so I say, come and see. Through obedience to His word. My teenage years were spent partly in the Boys' Brigade. In fact, I've come right through the ranks, and when I was at Shrewsbury, I ended up as captain. I have had that struggle, or one could say that privilege, of being on parade and calling the boys to be on parade. And you call one of the senior boys to be the marker And then when you got your mark, you say, boys to the tallest on the right, shortest on the left, fall in. And if they know what you're talking about, then they do it. If they don't, which is usually the case, you have to then tell them two or three times before they do it. But the way in which you get your instructions over is for them to put themselves alongside the one you have called out to be the marker. And then they are able to be orderly and in discipline. Jesus has this as his marker. And he is saying to us, come, take your dressing from this and become obedient to me. And that's the first thing that I want to share. For I want you to know what I am learning. Come and see that this Jesus is worthy to be your king, to be the ruler and the master of your life. But it means that as you come, you've got to be obedient to his word. And the second is that this Jesus is almighty. Not only is he king and having a kingdom, but he has power. And this power of Jesus is more than adequate for my needs, and I believe for yours as well. I believe that his store is so full of all the things that we need to live a full, wholesome life in harmony with God and with each other, that no matter how often we go to that store, there is enough for us. And I also believe it is because of my faith in this Jesus and all his adequacy that I am able to take day by day that which I need through the agent of his Spirit. And the result is that not only does the Spirit, through this power of Jesus, make me able to stand and to be and to speak and to love and to care like Jesus, but he also equips me with the ability to reach out and to give glory to Jesus through the services that I render, as well as the words that I speak. That he gives me that quality as well as that ability to build up the church so that in harmony with others we can minister to the world. And this is my belief. And therefore I want you to come and see it for yourself. And the way in which you can do that is by living moment by moment in faith in this power of Jesus. That as you claim that power in this moment, then you believe you have it, and so you live in it to the glory of his name and the service of others. And so when I say come and see for yourself this Jesus, I want you to see him as a living person who is not only capable of ruling life, but capable and willing to give us enough to cope with all the experiences. I want you to see him as a person, not just a giver. And you'll discover him to be so beautiful and so true. We were one of those that Mike talked about having had a holiday before coming here. And on that holiday, we suddenly became aware of the smell of the exhaust of the car and the extra noise. And we looked underneath and we saw that one of the silencers had blown itself and there was a hole. We were going through a certain town and we saw writing right across the garage, exhaust and tyre specialist. No charge for labour, we can serve you. So we got a few moments and said, let's go in there and get our silencer done. We went in. Yes, we can do it, sir, if you'll sit there just 20 minutes. It's an Escort, is it? Right. He got his book out. Yes, there it is. Yes, we can do it. Yes, we have that. So he took it into the back, put it on the ramp, went to the store, got the part that the book told him to get. As the car was on the ramp, he put it alongside, said, oh, sorry, this isn't the right one. We'll go back. So we went back to the book, and he looked through another book and another book, looking at the various modifications that there are on these modern cars. And he said, yes, we've still got that part. No, that wasn't quite right. So he went to another, and this didn't fit either. Then he said, well, look, I'm certain we've got it. I'll ring up our competitors and get it off him, which he did, and he went and got it and brought it back. It was now about half an hour after he said that he had done it in 20 minutes. And he said, I've got it now, you're all right, go and sit in the waiting room. So I did, and I could hear things happening under the car, but I still waited there because he was the specialist. He knew what to do and he promised he could do it. Then he came back with his hands in his pocket with his mate and he said, sorry, but we haven't got the part. I've put your old one back. All promise, no result. Not with Jesus. His promises are true. His power is real. His presence in your life through the Spirit is a reality. And I am saying to you, come and see that he is the one who can help you to cope with life and discover it to be so beautiful and so wonderful. This Jesus is a living person. But the other thing I want to share is that Jesus has the glory. That he who has the right to be king because of his victory over sin and death, he who is so generous in the giving of his power to those who through the Spirit ask for that gift, he is the one who has the glory given to him by his Father. And he sits in that glory in the heavenly places. He sits on the throne, and we know that because the door to that throne is open. The scriptures tell us so. And he is there, reigning supreme. This is our Jesus. He is there because through the incarnation, he showed graciousness to mankind. That when he was being crucified on the cross, he was so faithful to his Father. And when he was raised by the power of God to be alive forever, he showed his generosity to his people in the giving of the Spirit. This is the glory of our Jesus. And he is there now, supreme. And I want you to be with me in giving him the honor, along with the saints and with his Father. For it is Jesus who is worthy to receive our praise. For he is the Lord, the giver of life. It's now about 4 weeks since a young man came to our house and he asked if he could become a local preacher. And having sort of boldly stated his reason for being there, we sat down and I started to ask him one or two questions about his faith and the reason why he wanted to preach. And he said, well, coming along, I thought you'd be asking me questions like that. And he was all half ready for some of the questions. And the one when I asked him about why he wanted to preach, he answered like this. He said, I, from my own experience, understand that people develop their own moral standards. And as day passes day, these standards gradually get eroded until there comes to a moment when they have to readjust themselves. And they go on another track and with different standards to follow. He said, but I've come to see this last year that Jesus is alive and that he has a standard for all mankind. And I want to tell them. Glory, honor, praise given to Jesus from that man's lips. And through that man's life. And I want you to come and see that this Jesus is worthy to receive from you, your lips, your life, the same glory, the same honor, the same praise. And if you want a reason for it, it is this, that the opposite to giving glory and honor and praise to Jesus is sin. Because the failure to honor God is sin. The failure to accept his way of living is sin. It is so hurtful to him when his so-called believers watch the television instead of going to an act of worship. When his said believers have no time to read the scriptures. When his said believers discredit his name through the lapse moral activities in their lives. I want you to come and see that this living Lord Jesus is worthy to receive honor and praise and glory from you and from all the peoples of the world. One of the young ladies in our fellowship in June gave her life to Jesus. And I counseled her and she said, I have done this several times before when preachers have asked those that want to be received into the family of God come forward, and I've been. But every time until now, I have come and said, God, look, I'm giving you my life. And I have come on my terms. But tonight, she said, I have heard God say to me, come. And I have come on his. And that's how I want you to come to him tonight. On his terms. And he is asking from all of us to give our lives as a total sacrifice. There is nothing that we can hold back. Because he is worthy of the praise of the whole of our life. Therefore, when we honour him as king by being obedient to him, we're doing nothing more than what is due to him. That when we come in faith and we say, Lord Jesus, give to me the power that you have for me, then we're only asking what he wants to give. When he is to be honored by his people, then he says, come with the whole of your life. And tonight, as we end our act of worship, I'm going to invite those of you who have yet to do it to stand with me before Jesus and experience what I know to be true, that this Jesus is a wonderful, beautiful person who wants to stand with you, to give his Spirit to you, so that you can be his loving and wonderful person, not only through this holiday, for the rest of your life. 10 o'clock last night, I received a telephone call from a man who was a member of our church. At Easter, he resigned. He was one of our organists, and he resigned both his membership and his role as an organist because he said that we were desecrating the church. We're extending it to have more people able to come into the worship. But that was desecration to him. And also, he said, I don't accept your ministry. You talk as if you know God, and I have too many doubts. And he walked out. He rang me last night and he said, I want you to meet me at the church. I did. He was in the church, kneeling at the communion table. I went and knelt with him, and for half an hour he spoke with God, and I overheard. He poured out the whole of this last 4 months. His health deteriorated. His family has become a tense family. He's lost life. And he told it all to God. Then at the end, there was a pause. And very simply, I said, God is here. And he's ready to forgive us if we are ready to forgive each other. And he extended his hand and we shook hands in the presence of God. And we moved out of the church as brothers. Come and meet this Jesus, who is a living Lord, who is ready to be with you no matter how your life has been spoiled, and make you into his person. Will you? Let us pray. Sometimes, Lord, we make these things so difficult. And yet you are here. Here as a living person, ready to be our friend, as king, as a giver of power, as one who is worthy to receive praise from people like us. Speak to us, Lord, that we may come and see you as you really are. Help us, therefore, Lord, to submit to you our life as it is, sins and all. that you might, through your presence with us, transform us into the likeness of Jesus.